Okay, and those of you who just entered, if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself. Wonderful. Welcome. Thanks so much. I'd just like us to know who each other are in the room. And if you have questions, now you know who NIOSH folks are too. Feel free to ask any of us questions at any time if you need assistance with us on anything having to do with, you know, with your programs. I am going to turn this over. Actually, you know what? I do need to collect any additional agenda items. And Ken, I haven't forgotten about you because I know that ball is going to start bouncing really soon. So Ken, you added to the agenda something about an HHE document or documents. Are there any other items that people think we really need to discuss at this meeting? All right, Steve, let me turn it over to... Sorry, Ken, that was intentional.
Just a very brief announcement. We are playing soccer tonight. I might have not finished definitely yesterday when I mentioned it. So we're playing at 7 o'clock at the corner of G and 9. And this is for all. You don't have to be a professional player. You don't even have to have played before. And men and women. Always been fun. And Bernardo's not going to be there, so the A2Ms are going to beat the N through W. Break up by the date. The date won't be there. That's a challenge, Dave. Maybe you can change your mind.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Do you want the lights lowered? Well, I'm not sure what you're doing.
Yeah, turn that one off. So I'm done.
Can you cut?
You have the handouts. I know they're small. So. Okay. So anyway, while that's happening, I just want to say the last time I went to a CSTE conference, I think it was in downtown Boston, and that seems like eons ago. And no, the one that was like 5-6 years ago. But anyway, so wow, how... inspiring and like reinvigorating to get to come to one of these. Just really impressed, thanks. A couple shout outs. Audrey, we've exchanged emails the last year and now I get to see you in the live. Thank you, it's nice to meet you. And a shout out in the past year on some changes. So Adrian with the Minnesota program is now the PI for the Minnesota Occupational Health Surveillance Program. And an impending announcement is that Derry Stover is going to be the multiple PI for the Nebraska Occupational Health Surveillance Program. And if Office of Grant Services doesn't put it in that notice of award, I'm still holding you accountable as multiple PI. Okay? So anyway, I'm not going to go over all these slides in detail. You have them. I'm just going to highlight a few things. So interesting past year, as you all have observed, trying to manage and coordinate these cooperative agreements with my colleagues at the Office of Grant Services, and they're learning research grants, and I'm trying to learn what they don't know and what they do know. And so it's been a little bit of a transition year working with Sharon Kinsell and Renee Benyard, who's the grants management official. I've learned from them, and hopefully they've learned from me. And a new player that's going to come on board this year with, I think, some of the workers' compensation surveillance grants is April Jones, and she's a grants management specialist. And so those are the people I work with in your grants management. And sometimes when I communicate with you an email, you see that I don't necessarily copy the grants management people because I feel like it's a pretty straightforward communication. Likewise, they may correspond with you directly, and I'm not included in email. And so we kind of know what's going on. We coordinate as well as and appropriate as we should. I may not know everything they're talking with you about, and vice versa. They may not know everything that I talk to you about. So just for an awareness, and, you know, we're kind of learning the rhythm, the new rhythm of communication coordination. And I think it's improving. It's improving quickly, and I just wanted to say that. So for the past several months, I've processed 25 continuation awards of various types, and the first two listed are the U60 cooperative agreements. What's pending is 8 just-in-time awards, and they're spanning state surveillance workers' compensation and the Weston Conference grant. And so those would all be cooperative agreements under the second category of pending new awards. We have every intention of funding those. We don't have the funding package fully yet into PGO, now called Office of Grant Services, for all of those items in the second category, pending new awards, but our full intention is to make those. And as I announced at Southon, and I'll announce it here, even though I don't think I'm technically supposed to, the workers' compensation awards will be to the Tennessee Department of Health and the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation, who will be partnering with their sister agencies to conduct those worker comp awards. If you want to see anything about those new awards or your current awards or your colleagues' current awards, go to NIH Reporter and do that query on PI last name. 9 times out of 10, it will come up. Sometimes it doesn't because it just hasn't been uploaded yet into the NIH Reporter. And if you click on the first two tabs, or at least the other tab called Detail and Reporter, you'll even see the financials for the Cooperative Agreement Award. No. It's a public access database. The first question, go for it.
Well, I mean, should I wait, or?
Go for it.
If you will address this later, that's fine, but I get a lot of notifications of changes to the workers' compensation grant package. I've had like 6 or 7, and it's always hard to kind of figure out what those changes are. Should I talk to you offline about this, or?
Sure. So, thank you for signing up for email notification on the package in grants.gov. I didn't realize people do that. Also, what it means is it's a forms upload. So you'll see minor changes in forms like a PHS inclusion enrollment table now that's a new combined form that used to be two forms. So it's just minor technical forms upload, which means it'll be very important to do any new application according to the new forms. The next slide, so progress reporting. So I raised this briefly last year at the December's partners meeting that, you know, the new grant regulation cited right under the yellow text came out, and we needed to kind of think about this performance improvement and performance measurement. And nobody had really figured it out yet in the grants office, really what it meant. And to most of us, it meant progress reporting. You're implementing and executing your research plan, and it's on timeline. Well, surveillance is kind of a hybrid research program, in my opinion. So we needed to figure out a little bit about how to maybe report on this in the first year of the grant progress report to stay ahead of the curve and look responsive and to show OEP leadership. We know what we're doing. We're a collective community of good practitioners. We do good reporting. And so many of you did address this in your progress report. You combined evaluation with progress reporting. And I just want to say thank you very much. It's very helpful. So one idea I had, and it might be half-baked, and we may do this next year or the following year, I don't know. We may need to think about if we're going to provide something in terms of performance improvement and progress reports, do we want to capture that in the annual report? And if we're going to capture something about capacity building or capability improvement in the progress report, maybe we also need to then either summarize or verbatim put that into the annual report of accomplishments and impacts. Haven't completely thought it through yet. I'm just trying to think how we dot the I's and cross the T's. Something to think about. I'm not mandating anything today or this year. And your input is most welcome for any of this. So there are other activities completed. Well, I know you all get a lot of surveys. Thank you very much for participating in the two surveys that I sent out emails encouraging you all to complete, including the Wren survey that I know Linda Forrest, I think, helped develop the tool, and also for the Total Worker Health Survey, I think it was the 10 questions. And the feedback from the Total Worker Health Office already at NIOSH is, boy, those state surveillance programs were quick to return those. Thank you. Appreciate your support. So the second letter in 3 years, I believe it was 3 years, went out from both the director of NCIPC and as well as NIOSH. And again, it listed the Please Work Together. There's co-funding. It even listed some topics in it as possible collaboration topics. And I just want to say thank you for your responses. A couple states, at least I think it's two states, have actually engaged NIOSH about, well, we'd like to talk to you some more about that collaboration letter and some topics, and what more might we think about doing? And so thanks for your increased interest, and stay tuned. OEP is in a support role. We're not in a leadership role in this. And
could we see a copy of that
somehow? It went to the PIs of the cooperative agreements. So if you need a copy of that letter, just shoot me an email. I think I jumped ahead. The other thing I just wanted to mention was there's a new closeout guidance. It's the last bulleted item. It's not published yet on the webpage, but I know five states are going to be reporting their closeout for 1 year according to that new closeout guidance. Minor changes only, administrative, finance, no major changes in terms of programmatic. So if you have any questions, just call me. I'll walk you through it. It's pretty minor for programmatic purposes. So what's next? So for the next several months, I'll be doing the following, writing, submitting, and processing the funding packages for the possible 8 new awards, working on reading and getting your annual reports of accomplishments and impacts ready to get uploaded and posted on the website. And as a reminder, if you need to revisit that format or that language about the annual report, it's in the notice of award. I think it's in the continuation notice of award. It's the same language we've used for the past 4 or 5 years in terms of the guidance for writing the annual report. So last year's example is probably a good example for this year as far as format. Application due dates for the upcoming two program announcements for related to surveillance are listed up there. And so the last item is, you know, already begun the process of dialogue with Carrie and others on planning for a December partners meeting. And yep, we're going to have probably a 2 or 3 month lead time planning process on that. Hopefully we're going to get some state partners involved in the planning committee for agenda development. And looking forward to developing that. And I hope to provide a couple ideas for consideration to the planning committee. And I have a couple, and I'll just save those for later. And so that is my wrap up. Yes, Ken.
So in previous years, and I can't remember how far back right at the time, when NIOSH has not had any money and you had due dates for new applications, you sent out an announcement not for clients. Will you be doing that this summer at all, given that you have a number of proposals that are pending funding at this point that haven't been funded, and yet they're asking for new applications?
So I've asked that question, and the answer is we're going to have that discussion this summer. And hopefully I'll have a decision like in the next month or two whether to put out some kind of email advice as well as a published notice embedded in that funding opportunity announcement. So if there's something substantive decision-wise about that, I'll blast that out. What that means is that we would officially close the program announcement if that were decided, and that has not yet been decided. I don't see any other hands. So, and again, maybe there's time later for any follow-up questions. Thank you.
Okay, these are your updates from the Division of Safety Research. These are coming from John Myers, who sends his regrets that he can't be here this year. He was very sorry to miss this trip. And seeing all. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Audrey Reichert, and I'm also from the Division of Safety Research. John is my boss. So I'm just going to go through the bullet points really quickly. If you have questions, I will do my best to answer them, or I will take them back to John. So first is the NIOSH directions for agricultural surveillance.
And this is NIOSH's response to public comments, and it is currently being compiled into this document, and it's expected to be released by the end of September. The next bullet is there is a interagency effort with BJS, or the Bureau of Justice Statistics, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and NIOSH to do a workplace violence indicator document, and this co-branded document is going to analyze data from the National Crime Victimization Survey, CFOI, as well as the occupational supplement to NICE or NICE Work. There's a new program to gather anthropometric measurements on law enforcement officers. It's beginning at this point. The initial data collection will begin in the fall of 2016. And it will be a national sample, and the data will help NIOSH and manufacturers assess equipment layout in law enforcement vehicles, seatbelt design, and sizing of personal protective equipment for the LEOs. Let's see. Next is the robotics initiative. NIOSH is beginning a concerted effort to examine human factor and safety concerns related to people working with robots. Next, we have the Center for Motor Vehicle Safety. They are working on completing their mid-course review, and this is anticipated to be ready for comments in August of this year.
Is it public comments? Or?
I believe it's public comments, yeah. Yeah, yes, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, and I'm sure that Stephanie and Rosa will take care of that, but thank you. And then finally, we have a job announcement within our division, and this is for the team leader for the division's special studies team, and this focuses on population-based injury surveillance activities, including the NICE Work Surveillance Project and the NIOSH Center for Motor Vehicle Safety, and we're looking for a qualified health statistician or epidemiologist who will be responsible for providing technical assistance and technical direction to the team. And this is a backfill for Kara Parrott's position, who I believe you're going to see in a slide or two, and you'll understand why we're backfilling this position.
So.
Oh, the position that's in Morgantown, West Virginia. So this would be a position directly under John Myers. And it was posted yesterday, and I think it's open for 2 weeks.
Jobs USA.
Yeah, USA Job. Yeah. Any questions? Okay, thank you.
There, we'll get Kara's picture up there. So, hi everyone. My name is Jennifer Lincoln. I'm the Associate Director for Science for the new Western States Division. It's the newest division that NIOSH has created. It combines the offices in Anchorage, Alaska, Denver, Colorado, and part of the staff in Spokane, Washington, to create this new Western States Division. Max Kiefer is the interim director of this, of our new division. Kara Parrott is interim deputy, and I am not interim. I am the ADS, and I'm so happy to have just one job. I wasn't sure if folks realize this, and I think that, yeah, both, okay, good. Kyla and Joe are in here. So Kyla Retzer is, we have two national surveillance systems, one that are housed in WSD. Kyla Retzer leads one of those systems called FOG, Fatalities in Oil and Gas, right? New ADS, yeah. And then the other one is the Commercial Fishing Incident Database, or CFID. Both of these are national surveillance systems. So if you have a state that has oil and gas and or commercial fishing in it and you want some fatality data, then give us a call. As far as workers' compensation, we have a new project. Joanna Watson is a co-project officer for this new project. We have an MOA with the state of Alaska to look at workers' compensation data for our state. We're going to first look at this to focus on aviation workers, not just pilots, but all aviation workers in our state. And then we're hoping to look at the data and see where else it might lead us. As far as some other centers and initiatives, Joanna Watson also leads our occupational safety and health work and climate change initiative. We have a American Indian and Alaska Native Occupational Safety and Health Initiative that's led by Liz Dulcey. And then I said earlier that I only have one job. I do have two. My other job is to be the director of the new Center for Maritime Safety and Health Studies, which I'm extremely excited about. So if you have an interest in marine transportation, shipyards, aquaculture, commercial diving, these are all areas that we'll be working in. And then I wanted to give a plug for the West Dawn conference that will be in at the end of September in Denver again. Thanks. Any questions? Hi, Tish. I would like to think that we would be a resource. I know that, like I said, commercial diving is in that. I think that it's an underserved population. I have been talking to OSHA about some of the work that they're doing. So, yes, I want to say that we would be a resource for that. Hi, Dave. So I believe they were similar, so Kyla, step in if I misspeak. But I know that when we had our surveillance system for the state of Alaska looking at workplace fatalities that we do in conjunction with the state, that we wanted more information about fishing-specific things. We also were getting a lot of questions from the Coast Guard saying, could you do more for other areas in the country? So Devin Lucas and I sat down and thought about what kinds of information would we want to know about all fishing incidents that occur throughout the United States, and what would we want in that surveillance system. So we created CFID so that we could get very specific on fishing fatalities and vessel losses, and provide input and information for people that do this kind of work all throughout the country. I believe that FOG was created because we had CFOI and we wanted, again, to be able to answer more specific questions about oil and gas and some of the risk factors that were leading to these fatalities among oil and gas workers. So they went through a very similar process to create FOG to make sure that at the end we were able to understand specific risk factors for different occupations in oil and gas. Sure, sure. So in oil and gas, we haven't done any specific, like, on-site investigations. In fishing, usually the only time we get involved in an investigation if it's a major event. So, like, when there's, I can think of the Katmai was an incident that occurred in 2008 where there were 11 people on board and 8 of them died. We got involved in that to talk to the survivors to see what happened. There was another event where there were 47 people in the water and 42 survived. So we actually went out and interviewed those 42 survivors. So typically, we only get involved in investigations of fishing incidents if it's a major, if there's something that we feel like that we can learn from it. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about the climate change initiative?
I would like Joanna Watson to talk a little bit more about the climate change initiative. Sorry, Jo, if I'm putting you on the... I feel funny talking about this
with me standing in the room. So the Climate Change Initiative is a fairly new initiative. Right now, we're in the process of establishing what things we should be looking at and establishing how that's going to go forward. It's very small at the moment. Most of the work that we've been doing so far has been encouraging people who are climate and health researchers to understand that workers are an important subpopulation of the general population, and then also to raise awareness in occupational safety and health settings that climate change is something that they should be thinking about, and that it is just because something is climate related doesn't absolve them of their responsibility to keep their workers safe. So most of what we've been doing so far has been awareness raising. My plan for the next year is to try and figure out how we understand what research is already being done in this area and how we understand what we can do going forward in terms of supporting and promoting research both inside and outside of NIOSH. So that's what we're looking to do, and if anyone has any questions, wants to talk about this any further with me, I would be very happy to do so. There's also, I can put in a plug for your committee, because there is a webinar, a joint environmental, occupational and injury CSTE webinar that we did, myself and Michelle from Louisiana, that talked about climate change and occupational health, and then specifically about heat-related illness. So that's a good primer.
Anything else? Okay, thanks.
Hi, Peggy Filios, Surveillance Branch, Respiratory Health Division. I'll go over the bullets on this slide, but not necessarily the ones on the next slide. So just to tell you that we have a silicosis mortality study that's going on, and that's being done by Jacek Masaryk and Megan Casey. The data is under review. We're also examining the utility of using Medicare data as a source for silicosis surveillance, and that project is due to start this August. One thing that didn't get on here is I encourage you all to go look at poster 251, which is Katie's poster. Current asthma prevalence among adults by industry and occupation, 21 states using the 2013 BRFIS data. And an MMWR has been prepared and it's in cross clearance now. So if you have any more questions, talk to Katie. Oh, wrong way. And here are the state-based surveillance bullets given to us by Patty Schleif, the notifiable non-infectious conditions. The next chapter will be coming out September 19th. And the information about the occupational health indicators, I believe you already got that from the CSTE update sheet that Kathy put together. And so I don't have anything else. Yes.
This one we're kind of similar talking about in our CSTE meeting.
Yes.
So you already have this data?
Jacek has been, they've been collecting the death certificates, and they have been having a little bit of trouble getting those death certificates.
Is this the NOM states?
Is it the NOM states? Okay. No, I don't think so.
And we should, I know we had trouble getting the certificate, many of us.
So I'll ask him if he wants to reach out to folks about getting those death certificates. Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Marie Herring Sweeney. I'm the chief of the surveillance branch in DSHEF. And we have about 40 staff members in our branch, and we have lots of things that are going on. And I'm just going to give you a thumbnail sketch of a lot of things you have already heard about, but these are updates. So for the first thing is everybody knows about the NIOSH Industry and Occupation Computerized Coding System. It codes industry and occupation, but right now we're in the process of developing a system, sort of revising the system so it can look at workers' compensation data, which is a little bit different than just industry and occupation, and it will be coding in NAICS. The NOM system, that the National Occupational Mortality System, has a new project officer. It's Andrea Steggy. What we are planning right now is that, and it's not on this slide, but we are proposing a NORA project to work in collaboration with the National Center for Health Statistics to code all of industry and occupation on all the death certificates in the United States, and it would be done in real time. So this is a proposal, and we have to write I would hope that the letter of intent that went to NIOSH will be approved, and it will go forward into a full proposal. But what we are asking from all of our partner states is a letter of support saying that you think this is a great idea. And those letters would go to Andrea. And if you don't have Andrea's email, just send me one and I'll get you in contact with her. But one of the things that we do with our NORA proposals, they go out to external, they have internal and external review. And if we're saying we're working with the states and we don't have support from the states, then that means that we get a black mark against our name in the proposal. So that's kind of one of our asks for this year. Also for... Sorry, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, we'll have to, you know, it's one step at a time, and I think that's a really good idea. What we hope would happen is that the death data, so it would be the ICD codes and all the other data that would go, the industry and occupation would be concatenated with the ICD codes, would go into CDC Wonder, and it would be available to everybody. So this is not something that NIOSH would collect the data, but it would actually be accessible to anybody who needs it. So I think it's a really important project.
Was the case, it would almost be a shift from NOMS to that.
Correct. Correct.
NOMS would no longer be voted.
Right, correct. And that would save a lot of us a lot of work, yeah. But it would also make it available to a lot more people who want to do, you know, studies relevant to industry and occupation or to work. Any more questions about that? Kathy, and then Michelle.
So we know that a lot of times the death certificates don't have as robust information about industry and occupation as we find out if you're investigating whether it's for people or faith. So if it's would it only be coded to what's on the death certificate?
Correct. That's what we do with NOMS right now. We can't assume anything else. Michelle? So that's where we're going to work this out. So right now, NCHS is in the process of actually doing real-time ICD coding. Right now, they have about 50% of the states participating in that because not everybody is on an electronic, you know, process yet. But that's what we're going to be working out is, you know, rendering the industry and occupation, have that come to NIOSH through the NCHS firewall. The other thing is we talked with NCHS last September, and they got industry and occupation data from about 97% of the states. So the states are collecting it, but NCHS is not coding it. They're not giving it to us to code because it's not in their contract. You know. So anyway, hopefully this information would be available to the states as well as to the public. Any more questions before I go on? So the 2015 Occupational Health Supplement to the National Health Interview Survey, the public use data set should be out within the next month. If they're not, it's not out by the end of June. It should be very shortly, and it will be available to everybody, including us. In the ABLES program, I don't know, the lead session is tomorrow, but I wanted to introduce we are doing some changes and succession planning. Rebecca Tai will become our lead coordinator, our ABLES coordinator. And as it relates to sensor pesticides, Jeff is retiring as of July of next year, and Walter Alarcon will be taking over the pesticides program. And we won't talk about Jeff leaving until right before he does. Makes me too sad. Okay. Any questions about the National Health Interview Survey? So we have a system called the Occupational Health Safety Network, where we where hospitals actually voluntarily send their data to NIOSH. And these data are from the OSHA 300 logs, as well as from other information on injuries in healthcare workers. We standardize the data from the hospitals, and we help them benchmark their information. They started in 2010. They can see where their injuries occurred in the hospital, what the different occupations are that are most at risk, and then also helps them to intervene when they know where they're occurring and what kind of injury is happening. So we have injuries due to violence in the workplace, as well as slips, trips, and falls, and patient handling. And we are in the process of launching a new Sharps injury module. Now, we thought it was going to be out in February, but then we got a letter from CDC that says you are supposed to have clearance from the Office of Management and Budget, which we had been given a dispensation 4 years ago, but now they're saying we have to have it. So it's been sort of held in abeyance until we can get that OMB clearance, and we're hoping it would happen within the next month or so. Yes? Correct, and also it's on the website. There is a website for OHSN that helps you. Tish? Correct. Yeah, there is an interface that we have. So it's more complicated than I can explain, but there is a software for converting they're standardizing all of the codes. They're sending all of the occupational codes, as well as the department codes, because, you know, every hospital has their own department number, name. It could be doing the same thing as Hospital B, but Hospital A is causing it that. So we have what's called the Standard Occupational Data Architecture, and it codes them. So we ask them just to send it to us, and right now we're doing all that mapping and allows them to put their data in. There's an Excel spreadsheet they can dump the data into. Derry.
So in from the state's perspective, I would love to promote the Occupational Health and Safety Network to all my hospitals, but I think I've been told by Ahmed that he can't tell me which hospitals or even how many hospitals in the state, are. So
he can, but I don't, at this point we're not giving that data out, information out. Well, let's talk offline on that, because I'm wondering whether or not if you got an agreement from your hospitals that that the information can go to you, it might be.
I don't know. I don't need the information. How many hospitals in the state are participating?
We know how many. We know who's participating. I don't know if there are any in Nebraska, but we know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't tell you, but there, yeah. I can get you that information. I don't run the Workers' Compensation Virtual Center, so I'm not going to talk much about it. It's in your slides, and everybody knows that Steve Wurzelbacher is the project office officer for that. If you don't know him or you need his contact information, please send me an email and we'll get that for you, or Carrie will do that for you. So you heard Rebecca Tye's discussion of the data visualization program that we're working on, and we're really moving to put all of our systems on this in here. The reason we have to do our own system is that everything must be 508 compliant. It must be accessible to those who are visually and auditorially disabled. We have a large study with 6 cancer registries now. We're coding INO from I don't think we have the MOUs for all 6 states yet, but we're in the process of doing that. And we have been working on a lot of analysis with these states. So the NIH Precision Medicine Initiative is to get information on 1 million people. And we are working with NIH to make sure that we get a person's work history in this data. They're collecting all kinds of health data on all these people. And they've asked us to sit on the committee, and we're making sure that work is integrated into this system. It's really, I think, more for genomic research, but I guess if you have data on 1 million people, it might be publicly available in some form or another once they get the 1 million people on in the database. So we try to change these slides so that they're easier to read. But what I would like you to note is that we just had this is about the BRFSS study, and we just had a paper, our MMWR article published last Friday on seatbelt use by state and by occupation. This is done by Winnie Bowl and Aaron and a couple other folks in our office. Also, we are looking at cardiovascular metrics among workers using the 2013 BRFSS data. That information, that article should be out in August of 2017, or this August. And then we have a whole host of other articles that we're working on. Obesity among workers, influenza, and tetanus. The theory was done by the National Center for Respiratory and Infectious Diseases in collaboration with NIOSH. And then we have one on arthritis. Aaron?
Well, are you saying you want something more than these slides, for example?
No, these slides are fine.
Okay, we can send these slides to all of the states.
But this is like after the fact, like knowing that MMWR, knowing that when he's working on, maybe we're working on a state to look at ours, and I could have a conversation with your scientist about, how are you controlling what you're doing, as opposed to when it comes out. It would just be more useful. And I've been out of touch, so this maybe I can take some responsibility for not being on top of it. So I don't need to think of your budget. It would be really great to know kind of on an ongoing basis.
I thought you had talked to people about these.
We have at various points in time communicated about these things. We've decreased the frequency of the work group meetings to just as needed right now. So maybe we need to have another one fairly soon. But we can just send out the slide.
Is this going to be shown broken down by state?
No, the seatbelt study is aggregated. Actually, I have a copy of the paper here.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So there are a few more projects that are on the books. They are not too far along just yet. These are promissory notes, right, Aaron? Are we working on now? Yeah. So I put this slide together. Aaron didn't do it, but there are a couple of things that I think is really that are really important for you to know is that we have put together we're putting together a web page specific to our BRFSS. Efforts. We're putting aggregated data on the NIOSH website. As soon as it gets reviewed by the Office of the Director and approved, it will be up on under the surveillance web page. And if you haven't seen the new redesigned surveillance web page, please do. It just went up. It's kind of pretty nice. That we are collecting data for one more year. The 2017 BRFSS survey, NIOSH will support that. And then if you do analysis and write a report, whether it's a state report, it's in the gray literature, or it's published, please put it in the state-based clearinghouse. At the National Academy meeting, somebody stood up and said, you know, we don't really know what the states are doing with the BRFSS data, and you only have two questions in the survey. And since I was an observer, I couldn't jump up and say, it took us 5 years to get those two questions in. But I think it's really important for everybody to document and in the clearinghouse that you have these reports, get them up on the RSS feed. If you're having issues getting it up there, please let me know. I will have our ACE expert, Junju, to help you put it up because we need to document that this information is being used by the state. CDC, other parts of CDC is saying, well, we have to have evidence the states really want to use this data. So, Bob. And thinking about it, actually, we only had a couple of weeks that we were really surprised. We sent the MMWR article in to them, and then the next thing you know, it's going to be published in 3 weeks because it happens to be, you know, Motor Vehicle Safety Week. So what I understand, too, just one more thought, is that you all have to respond to your health commissioner. And if, in fact, you know, they know that your state is submitting data to BRFSS and participating in industry and occupation, you may have to address some questions. So we need to think carefully about that.
Mm-hmm. We in our program can say, that's the national data. Guess what? Here's the statistic from Massachusetts. And that can go on our blog. Mm-hmm. So we can generate state-specific data. It may not always be the same year because we might aggregate data over time to all of us. But anyway, that's just an example of how we can use your publication to get our
Perfect.
Data out in a quick way that's not a whole new amount, you know.
Perfect. So take note. The cardiovascular metrics will be published August 12, 2016. So we'll send out a message to everybody and let everybody know about this.
So there's some warning right there. But yeah, we will send out these slides.
So we're using the NCHS recodes. Yeah. So the another issue with the influenza and tetanus and diphtheria, that particular study has been, that particular article has been in review at NCIRD for 2 years. So we haven't even had a heads up on that. Sad. Okay, let me just move forward. Yes. So we were supported by NIOSH to do a demonstration that it is to the states and to us that it was useful to include questions on industry and occupation, not just employment status in the BRFSS. And so we, by hook or by crook, have gotten in an additional year. But what we are trying to do is get work into the demographics, into the core BRFSS. It is, as I will kindly say, it's a political morass between CDC, other parts of CDC, and the BRFSS coordinators. And, you know, Aaron has been kind enough to stand up and really bang the gavel saying we need this in the core, and we really haven't gotten too much farther. We're hoping we can break through in the next year, but especially if everybody gets their analysis done and we get these papers out. Derry?
Well, so we're doing a lot of small things in the states regarding BRFSS, but all of these projects are pretty successful. I mean, Aaron, are you disseminating or getting these to the BRFSS coordinators through this or through webinars? Because this is, I mean, what you're doing is...
Well, we just only have two papers, so yeah, we haven't yet. But there are all the other... Carrie? And I have heard the same thing. Yep.
I think people need to be aware that is some backdrop here.
This is the proverbial stuck with between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I just want to echo my comments from yesterday about the chronic disease subcommittee of CAC is working on this and in terms of relaying it to the CDC directly, both to the chronic disease center and to greater CDC. And the plan is that they do some kind of letter to CDC
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Dave. Well, so that was the next question. I wanted to just end the issue about make sure you get your papers. I mean, this is exclamation point underline. Please get it in there so that we can point to the committee and other people that, yes, the states are using these data. And the last question is, are people having challenges in analyzing the industry and occupation data? So if so, we're going to, We have people who are willing to do it. We are willing to help. Yes?
I have a challenge in analyzing this, but I'm sort of starting to have a challenge with Burpis and INO. There's been a lot of this around total work health, and we're not getting any, well, maybe we are getting some traction in the total work health community around sort of the Burpis work. And, you know, do we need to start looking for other people who have used the state service intermediate outcome?
Have you heard me say it?
Oh, I did that.
Yeah. It's an undercurrent, yes, for sure. And then, the other thing is, Aaron told me that if you want something to kind of raise up in the BRFS community, the BRFSS community, they will help you. If you have an idea, the person from the BRFSS newsletter said that they will actually help you write the article. And so I think they have a monthly newsletter. So if you've got some data and you'd like them to analyze it, or not analyze it, but you've analyzed it, but you want to get it out and show the BRFSS community what you're doing, contact Aaron. Aaron knows the person.
Well, can I just respond to Dave's? I mean, the point you raised is a good one. It's like, what sense does this make? Because we're only looking at these general health outcomes, health behaviors currently. But, you know, it's valuable what we're doing because it hasn't been done for workers specifically before, and it certainly hasn't been done looking at occupation and industry before. So most of these things are new. But you make a good point. I mean, things come in steps. And the whole idea with this project initially was the first step would just be adding industry and occupation to the BRFSS. Well, it was about 100 times harder than we thought it was going to be. And there's some real obstacles to adding it to the core that have to do with the whole process between the CDC and the states. And there's kind of like a war going on right now about these process issues. But beyond that, even with the module, the objective long term, at least my objective, was it wouldn't stop with that. I mean, it would make sense, and it makes sense for states to add other questions to this survey that, you know, you have the ability to add state ed questions. Any state can do that. Or coordinate with other states, ask the same question. That's been done at least once or twice before. Dave, you were a part of that. Once with compensation for injury. And the other one was three states asking a question about
dermatitis.
Yeah. So there's several examples that are good examples. But yeah, ultimately, it shouldn't be the end point. It's a step along the process, and the idea would be to add work-related things eventually. But this is a very difficult thing to move. This is the CDC's the world's largest surveillance system. It is a gigantic thing, and it is very, very difficult to steer that ship. What I heard at the BRFS annual meeting last year, the director of the Chronic Disease Center, CDC, she said it's not going away. Ursula Bauer, she said that more and more demands are placed on this system every single year, which is true. We're part of that. And they are in the process of changing it. I mean, they do have plans. They're planning to go to a multi-mode survey. They're already testing the multi-modes. It's going to involve mail. It's going to involve internet. They are about 5 years into testing this. They're not sitting on their hands, but there's a lot of issues between the states and the CDC right now that are beyond NIOSH.
So that's where we are.
Chief.
At the risk of sharing this, so I heard the concept of next steps or collecting another piece of data. When NIOSH OEP makes its Total Worker Health Center awards this summer, some of those centers are going to have small studies, feasibility studies, funding programs, up to $30,000 a year, possibly. If you're looking for taking something to the next level and you're willing to do a mini proposal and your worker center, Total Worker Health Center is a way to collaborate and do that, keep that in mind. Email me. I'll share the information again later.
Okay. Thank you. So yesterday you heard about the National Academy study on smart surveillance, and just to get it from the NIOSH perspective, NIOSH actually commissioned, John Howard was the person I think over the last 2 years wanted this study commissioned, and they gave the panel a number of challenges. One, gather data on existing symptoms and surveys. I think we've already done that for them. Conceptualize innovative approaches, which we are all interested in thinking about how we do surveillance better, how we do it more effectively. And then also, I think we have asked the committee to think about new technologies for making it easier to do surveillance, occupational health surveillance, in the 21st and into the 22nd century. It's an 18-month study. We hope the report is going to be out in summer of 2017. And we've given the National Academy lots of documentation about all of the studies, all of the data that NIOSH uses. So even the little bits and pieces that you heard about today are just a very small component of all the data that and data sources that we employ in doing occupational health surveillance. So actually, all of that information is on the National Academy's website, and you know, there's a specific site we need to go to, so we can put that up on the state's surveillance website for you all to access. Is it up there? Thank you very much. Sorry it's been so long.
Okay, we're doing pretty well in terms of time. Does anyone have any kind of lingering questions, either programmatic or administrative for NIOSH? Any of us folks who are here? Any questions for Dr. Howard? I'll bring those back. Steve.
Just a very quick informal poll, if you would just raise your hands if this is relevant to you. For any of you that have other CDC cooperative agreements, has your program official begun any dialogue with you on the new CDC policy for data access and management and a timeline for coming into compliance with that in any of your other cooperative agreement awards? No show of hands? So I don't believe this has been formally externally communicated yet, but I wondered if some project officers are actually jumping and starting a dialogue. So what happened is earlier this year, CDC formalized a public data access policy, which is going to put a timeline on existing grantees to provide all their public accessible data onto their state data portal. And NIH has required this for many years. This is not new, but it is new for CDC. It's replacing the CDC data sharing agreement that's one of your administrative requirements on all your grants and cooperative agreements. This formalizes states coming into compliance over 3 years of having a formal data management program where you have to say where on your portal this data is accessible, characteristics of the data, security, data dictionary elements, and basically it's for machine-readable data, public accessible. It's a very large, encumbering policy. And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is that I didn't believe this has gone external yet, but I just wanted to kind of see if there was an informal poll if anybody else from other centers had even mentioned this to any other co-funded people. Terry? Okay, so this sounds like kind of a tangent issue regarding the data security descriptions that are part of the data management plan. And that policy hopefully is going to be clarified by Office of Grant Services. So anyway, stay tuned. This is not urgent. I don't think there's any ask of you in the coming year, but I just wanted to ask you as an informal poll. Like I said, this is under the existing data sharing agreement that's in an original administrative requirement that's been in effect in years. It's a question of how arduous are we going to administer this new updated policy, and I don't want to elevate it to be any more concerning than that today. Darren? To be communicated and decided in the future, because I'm hoping secondary data is exempted from this aspect. But it's to be determined.
So I've got Derry here, and I've got Cha-Ping here. So Cha-Ping is our first-year EIS officer. He's an infectious disease physician who really didn't know much about occupational health, and we're turning him into an occupational health physician. But anyway, he's doing a number of studies looking at collection of data by states on specific diseases. Right now he's looking at Campylobacter. And we're looking at sort of the distribution of occupations that may in fact be impacted by Campylobacter. He did Cryptosporidium with dairy. So if there are states that have data that they would like to work with Cha-Ping, you know, their infectious disease data, where we can look at occupation and the distribution of occupations, or, you know, the comprehensiveness of the occupational data that are collected or not collected, that would be, you know, it would be really helpful. So you can contact me, and then Cha-Ping and I will talk about it.
So we have two more items, Ken, HHE documents, and then also hopefully we'll have time to talk a little bit about webinars. Ken, do you want to talk about?
I was really asking as a question.
Okay.
NIOSH, in my understanding, you're preparing as well. I know we're preparing a document on encouraging states to make referrals to the Health Hazard Evaluation Program and guidelines for what the state should expect. So I'm guessing when that, I wanted to know when that might be available. To me, the next step after that is something that CFPE is planning on doing, is taking the AKE document and taking our previous OSHA guidance referral document and coming up, I don't know, ideally one page, but maybe two pages, maybe three, sort of contrasting or comparing so for states to see, okay, this is a situation where I may want to make an AKE request or I may want to make an OSHA referral, and so they can contrast time to when to expect something, what the state's involvement would be. But so partially it was just a question and then just to let you know.
Just a heads up. Okay. Yeah, the actually Terry did mention that to me recently. She said that that document is nearing completion, the one that you're talking about regarding advice for states around our HHE program, how to use it. It's forthcoming. I know that it was on her mind when she and I spoke. Okay, and then I know webinars was a topic. I'm not sure if this was just generating ideas around webinars. Terry? Right, sure. I mean, partly it depends to who can come to the meeting, you know, and that, of course, is, you know, somewhat dependent on where we have the meeting that particular year. But if motor vehicles is, you know, is an item of interest, we're happy to arrange webinars when we can. I know it's not the same as in person, but maybe we can get some other ideas for kind of, you know, webinars that NIOSH can offer, topics that, you really don't have enough of from us, and we can offer by webinar. Tish?
Yeah, we have a number of us have like are dabbling in infectious disease surveillance, and we're also having NIOSH now, and there's also issues about COVID. So something, I'm not sure if it's a webinar or a meeting, but
or right. Yeah, like a call.
Some kind of collective discussion on what is the status and where we're going with infectious.
Okay, great. Okay. Okay, great. Sharon? Sure. Okay. Great. Bob? Okay. Yeah, we could just finish this up. Is there anything else that might be, ripe for a webinar at this point? And, of course, you can always suggest it at any point in time. Just shoot me an email if there's something. So there is a contract. I think in the contract we always ask CSTE to put on a certain number of webinars. We are happy to do additional ones as well. I mean, you know, we don't have a particular contract to do it, but we'll do it anyway. So are you all set for topics for webinars, Amy, for the CSTE side of it?
I mean, I'm still collecting ideas.
Okay. Yeah, we usually share these ideas a little bit. Well, we could compete. It could be a contest. Yes, yes. And then you'll get two webinars. Oh, Ken. So at least you didn't bounce the ball the entire 90 minutes. So I'm grateful. Okay, so that, Bob, you had one other. Does anybody else have any announcements? Okay, well, I guess, okay, I have no idea if it's okay with OSHA, but I guess we should wrap up. Thank you all for coming. Really appreciate being able to talk with all of you.